In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Arthur Gallegos. And for the most lost souls. Today, as we continue on in our lessons, I want to bring up a question that was asked not long ago after one of the Masses. And the question was, Father, why is it that the readings in the Novus Ordo Missa are different than the readings in the Ventus Ordo Missa, which we are celebrating today? The difference is this, is partially it's due to the fact that the season of Septuagesima means 70 days, and so we're entering into 70 days, meaning 30 days prior to the actual Quadragesima or Lenten season begins, and so there's a lot more opportunity to deal with certain mysteries. And the other is just there's a jumbling of the mysteries to rearrange them. So often these very same readings that we are doing here in the Ventus Ordo will also be done in the Novus Ordo Mass at some point. It's just they change the order of the way things happen. But oftentimes on Sundays, it is the exact same. Just like last Sunday, first Sunday of Lent, is always we're going through the temptation of our Lord in the desert. Just like always, the second Sunday of Lent in both forms is the Transfiguration, which we will do in this weekend. So there are various ones that are always done at that time, and then there's other things that are different in that way. You can find out more, actually, if you read the very beginning of the Missal. It'll actually tell you, or the lectionary, rather, and it'll tell you some of the decisions that they made, though maybe not always to the full satisfaction of what you're trying to do to get in a little bit deeper, but I'll leave that for you to discuss. Now, here we have today the Syrophoenician woman. In Matthew's Gospel, it just says a woman from the area of Tyre and Sidon, a woman from that area who comes out there, a Chaldean in this way. And so, what happens in here, if you were here for Matins and you heard the readings proclaimed, then you know a little bit of the take of the saint on that. But I want to zero in on one particular passage with us here. We have within the lesson for today's Mass from Ezekiel something that is quoted also within the Gospel, where that saying where, oh, what about that? They say if a man eats unripe grapes, then his children are going to have their teeth set on edge. They're going to have a messed up teeth, and so they're going to have trouble for the rest of their lives. And Ezekiel says, stop saying that. That's not the way things actually work. God does not do that. Not just in the physical way, but also what they would do, and this is a very strong Jewish thing, is that if you were a bad sinner, then your kids are going to be really messed up. Now, there is a propensity that if you lead a sinful life as a parent, you're going to pass on those bad habits to your children. They're going to see your bad example, and then all the more easily follow that because the parents are the moral formators of the home. That's not always the case, and very wicked parents can often have very holy children, and very holy parents can sometimes have very wicked children. It's all in regard to the mystery of human iniquity, the mystery also of human free will. But God does not punish the children for their parents' sins is the key thing that Ezekiel brings forward. But here it's turned on its head within the Gospel, where here the Jews are saying it is the sins of the father, the sins of the parents that are carried over onto the children, and Ezekiel says, no, it's not that way. Well, in the Gospel, there's something else that's going on here that's totally the opposite. Whereas the scriptural principle is not that the lack of faith of the parents is carried over to the destruction of the kids. But what our Lord says is the presence of true, real faith actually can transform the life of the kids. So the negative principle is not operative, but the positive principle, as the example of our Lord, absolutely is. And we see this over and over again throughout all of Holy Scripture, particularly in the Gospels, the miracles of our Lord, that the faith of parents often does. The faith of those who own slaves or own servants often does really actually affect and transform the lives for the better of those who serve under them. And that's something that's important for you and I to look back as we see our children or our nieces or our nephews or grandchildren or those who are under us struggling in so many ways that our faith really can indeed have a profound effect upon them. Let me read from you something of St. John Chrysostom as he says, commenting on the same scripture, the doctor of the church, in one of his homilies. He says, note the wisdom of this woman. She went not to men who promised to make things better. She didn't go to use useless bandages to heal wounds. But leaving all the devilish charms, speaking of the evil demons who the people of the pagans worshipped, he says, leaving all the devilish charms behind, she came to the Lord. She asked not James, the apostle. She didn't go to pray and beseech Blessed John, nor did she apply herself to the mercy of Peter. But putting herself under the protection of penitence, she ran alone to the Lord. But behold, a new trouble. She makes her petition, raising her voice in a shout. And a God, the the lover of mankind, answered her not a word. We see here that she was answered for very many reasons, as the gospel will go forth to tell forward that she didn't go to those things that everybody else said would be good, but she went to the one source which she knew which was far beyond her. She didn't go to any of the go-betweens, but she went directly to the one who could indeed cure, because she knew the way men work, that they would say, no, this isn't important. Oh, no, you're not one of us. Oh, no, you're not worthy to come. So she, in her boldness, went directly to the source. So it is for you and I. Go directly to the source. She intuited something there in her boldness, even as a pagan, which sometimes we fear as well. Something that was not revealed until the resurrection of the Lord, that one could indeed go directly to without the go-betweens to God and to seek his face, as was said in the tract of today's Mass, to seek the face of the Lord, and we shall find salvation therein. And it was because she had that direct connection to the Lord and putting her request directly to him, she received great mercy in that boldness, laying her cause before the Lord. It's within that same ardor that we spoke about yesterday in Esther, how she received deliverance, because she went to the Lord in penitence, laying herself below, recognizing he alone was the one who could bring salvation. And so it is for you and I in whatever trial and struggle we go through, that but going and importuning the Lord, who is never importuned by you and I, never put aside, but rather his heart is opened, all the more humbly we present our petitions to him with the ardor of our hearts. Whatever difficulty is facing you within your own souls, or even for the soul of for whom this Mass is being offered, or for the most lost souls, importune the Lord in this way and see what he indeed can answer. For it is not the sins which are held against the children, but it is indeed in a very positive and gracious, glorious way that the faith of the parents can indeed be the cause of salvation for their children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.